This is Powering Michigan's Future with Ken Rogolski. Brought to you by the National Electrical Contractors Association of Southeastern Michigan and the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers Local 58. The best contractors, the best electricians, period.
On tonight's edition of Powering Michigan's Future, we'll discuss the Play Place for Autistic Children, a new facility getting ready to open in Sterling Heights. And we'll also learn more about a new program for returning veterans called eStart, which offers pre-apprenticeship opportunities for vets, with Gary Polulik, Training Director of the Detroit Electrical Industries Training Center. And later, we'll be joined by Brad Hewitt, veteran and electrical apprentice, and learn more about how the trade has changed his life. Stay tuned for WJR's Powering Michigan's Future on News Talk 760 WJR.
It's Powering Michigan's Future on News Talk 760 WJR. Once again, here's Ken Rogolski.
We'll kick off tonight's show tonight with Art Ashley, chairman of NECA Contractor from Ferndale Electric. Art, good to have you back again.
Good to be back. I always enjoy talking to you.
Thank you. You know, you've guys got a really wonderful little project going, the Play Place for Autistic Children. Just give us an outline of what this thing is.
Well, Play Place for Autistic Children is a place that you can bring your child to that's autistic, and they can play there with other autistic kids in an environment that's completely free from any outside influences, and it's just a great, exciting place to me. I've never heard of anything like this before, and obviously never seen anything like this, but I'm really excited about it. It is a tremendous facility, and I can't wait to see it open.
And you know, when you have an autistic child, being alone is very important, you know, keeping distractions away.
Yes, it is. And they have a lot of exciting things that are planned over here, and it's exciting for me to see this all coming together and taking shape. Again, I just can't wait to see it finished.
Now, you're a contractor with Ferndale Electric. You're involved with NECA and IBEW. What have you guys been doing for this facility?
Well, what we've been doing is this is a tenant space building that they're leasing, and it was basically four walls and a roof, and they're building all the different themes that are going to be used throughout the area there. They have a computer lab and an art lab and play areas with with jungle gym type things and carousel and hairdresser, haircut, barbershop type setup, and all these different things that are being built by the building trades. And we're obviously providing the electrical wiring, lighting fixtures, fire alarm system, and you know, associated electrical work that goes along with that.
It sounds pretty state-of-the-art. Are there any special wiring or electrical needs for a place for autistic kids?
Yes, lighting has to be LED lighting. There's something, and I'm not an expert on this, but there's something about the frequency or wave of an incandescent or fluorescent-type lamp that's disturbing to autistic children. And so it has to be all LED lighting, which has presented a few challenges because LED is relatively new technology, and that's being used today. And we had to do a little research to find all the right kinds of light fixtures that were needed. It took a little time to get that all put together, but we mastered it and found everything that we needed, and everybody likes it. And we're currently installing all the lighting and the other branch electrical circuits and that throughout the facility right now.
So how far along are you in this project?
Well, I would say we're probably 75 to 80% complete. Last time I was over there was about a week or so ago. We're installing lighting, and we're starting to put the devices in now, the light switches and electrical outlets, and we're terminating splices and the different wiring systems, and we're coming into the finish line here pretty soon. I'm hoping that we're going to be all wrapped up before the end of June.
So why is it important for you guys in the trades to give back to the community, especially autistic kids?
Well, the building trades, and you know specifically the electrical contractors and IBEW. We have about 3,000 members, and we have a number of family members that have autistic children, and this kind of hits close to the heart here with us and the electrical industry, and additionally being able to see this facility used by the whole area of southeastern Michigan, it's just an exciting thing, and I'm happy that we can be a part of it.
It sounds like there's a place for the kids, but there's also a place for the parents where they can congregate.
Yes, there is. There's they have a nice area where kind of a cafeteria lunch area where the parents can get together and talk, and I think that's a good situation, because a lot of times people think they're the only ones out there going through this, and they get a chance to sit down in a comfortable environment and talk to other families and other people that are going through similar things, and help them to better understand how to deal with their kids and their needs and what they require.
And parents realize they're not the only one. There's someone else out there that that has the same situation, and it seems to lighten the burden.
I agree. I think it does. I think it's always helpful when you can talk with other people that have similar challenges that you do, and especially if somebody else is farther down the road, say, and it helps somebody else understand that there's light at the other end of the tunnel here. This isn't a dead end road.
And that is so true. Before we run out of time, Art, what do you think the impact for the community is going to be once you get done with this project?
I think it's going to be huge. Before this project, I had no idea how many autistic kids there are in southeastern Michigan, way more than I had ever dreamed possible. And I think this is exciting, and I think it's going to be a smash hit in the communities that once this is completed and kids start coming in and enjoying it, I'm looking forward to going over there and visiting after it's open, and seeing the kids play on the different things over there, and utilize the computer work room and the art room, and it's very exciting. I can't wait to see it get done and get in use.
I can't wait for you to see it either. We'll have more on Powering Michigan's Future right here on News Talk 760 WJR right after these words.
This is Powering Michigan's Future on WJR. Here again is Ken Rogulski.
Welcome back to WJR's Powering Michigan's Future on News Talk 760. We continue our discussion tonight about Play Place for Autistic Children, and we welcome founder, parent, and CEO Shell Jones to the program, who'll talk more about the vision of Play Place. Shell, good to have you.
Thank you so much.
Just give us a brief thumbnail sketch about Play Place for Autistic Children.
Basically, Play Place is a judgment-free safe haven for families affected by autism, disguised by play, and with lots and lots of therapeutic elements involved.
But this is kind of a state-of-the-art place. This is not just something that's been refurbished.
No, not at all. We've done lots and lots of construction, just providing a fun-filled environment for these families to enjoy quality time.
Quality time is so important, especially when you're dealing with a special needs kid. Now, what type of areas are within Play Place, and why are they so important?
So we decided to go with the theme of play because it's a natural form of engagement for these for just children in general. And these children being bombarded on a daily basis with biomedical treatments, therapy, the regular daily activity of school, and just doctor's visits can be quite overwhelming. So, my idea was to give them some smiling space, if you will. And so we have a carousel. We have a computer cafe. We have an art room. We have a haircut hut. There's a 48-seat movie theater. There's an inspiration hall where we'll throw parties, have music dances, and do theater classes. Just a plethora of entertainment for these families.
Sounds like almost like a Disney World here in Sterling Heights.
Exactly.
Now, what type of areas are within the facility for parents? I understand there's a special parents area, too.
Yeah, so we definitely cater to the entire family, siblings included. And just some of the features for parents would be our resource management forum, where we connect the families with autism-related or special needs-related professionals, like estate planning or where dental care, where you get your child's teeth cleaned without them being sedated, you know, just things that you take for granted.
Right.
And we also have a bistro where they can come and connect and have that Me Too conversation over a hot cup of coffee, you know, and share some therapies and some stories and just know that they're not alone.
And having somebody to talk to.
Exactly.
Now,
it's huge.
There's not just one degree of autism. It's a whole spectrum. Can you explain that for us?
When you've seen one child with autism, that's all you've seen. You've seen one child with autism. Because it is a spectrum disorder, meaning that the levels of disabilities can range from as far as, you know, someone being 25 years old and not potty trained, unable to speak, never having learned how to read, to you could have somewhere a two-year-old who's great with math and, you know, or just does some amazing things at such a young age. And, you know, it's, again, it runs the gamut of levels in the sense that some of these kids can go to college, you know, and receive doctor's degrees.
All the way through upper education?
Exactly, for sure.
Hmm.
Most definitely.
Now, how did you begin this effort?
Well, my son was born. He's my first child, and he was diagnosed at 2.5 with autism. So, you know, there began the journey, and here we are 13 years later.
Was it kind of a blow to you and your husband when you found that out?
Well, you know, I never looked at it like that. It was just, I had, you know, prior to him being diagnosed, my motherly instinct was telling me that something was wrong. And I had never heard of autism, so this was all fresh and new for me. And when he was actually diagnosed, you know, my first inclination to the doctor was to say, you know, what do I need to do to get him where he needs to be? And, you know, that's kind of the attitude that I took on as opposed to the defeatist state where, you know, I refuse to be defeated by autism.
And that's why you did it well.
Well, thank you.
Give us the stats on autism and how it affects families. How big of a problem is this?
Oh, it's huge. And unfortunately, Michigan is number 4 in the country. We have over 50,000 individuals in the state that are affected. There's over 8,000 school-aged kids in the Macomb Tri-County area that have autism. And, you know, the divorce rate is 80%. 95% of these families don't get the opportunity to attend church. And can you just imagine having to deal with this 24/7 challenge and not being able to nurture your faith through it all? That's pretty hard, you know. So in addition to the unemployment rate is 94% amongst these kids. So in essence, they graduate high school, usually not with a diploma, but with a certificate.
Uh-huh.
And they just kind of sit at home after that with aging parents. So, you know, it's really sad.
How's your son doing?
He's doing well. He's reading. He's 13 years old, and he's doing math. He's doing double-digit math.
Wow.
So he's now learning the carryover. Socially, he's still, you know, in that cave, but we're slowly trying to lure him out, if we can just get that iPad away from him. And, we just constantly try to expose him to different things. And PlayPlace will be the perfect place for that, in that we don't have a lot of opportunities to pick from in terms of exposure, except for the sporadic opportunities of a Macomb Autism Society or the friendly sensory viewings at a theater that happen, you know, occasionally every month or two, you know.
Yeah.
Other than that, that's all we get.
So how will PlayPlace be used by families with autistic kids?
We're hoping that these parents will come in, these families, and they'll have a place for socialization. We'll also have a place for assistance with development for these kids to kind of get out, make friends. We'll have a Work Plus program to help with the employment crisis that I spoke of earlier, whereas my goal is to have 50% of the staff be autism or special needs affected individuals who can pick up some inventory experience, customer service, things like that, so that we can just we're looking to develop these kids to be the most to gain the most potential that they can as individuals and contribute to society.
Yeah, make them the best they can be.
Exactly.
Now, how did the building, the construction of this facility come together? It sounds like an inspiration.
Oh, wow. You know what? It's really God-inspired, I have to say. We have just been so blessed to be able to garner such kind and generous sponsors and donors from the trade unions like the IBEW and Ferndale Electric, who donated six-figure contribution to our facility.
Wow.
You have the Plumbers Union. I mean, just every little bit has been, 90% has been donated, from the ductwork to the plumbing, just to the iPads that will occupy the computer cafe from Somerset Mall, the carpeting, who, you know, and it's just, it comes in some, like, cold calls where, we're calling, trying to get some items donated, and it turns out, being that Michigan is number four, that nine times out of ten, we're going to run into someone who's affected, and it's the guy who gave all the entire carpet flooring that has an autistic, well, actually, she's not autistic, but she's severely disabled, and he just wanted to be a part. He wanted to help because this is a place that he can bring his daughter.
I mean, this kind of support really is heart-wrenching, heart-touching.
Yes. It is. I mean, it's overwhelming just to know that people are still kind and care, you know, and can understand what it is as a parent of a special needs child, and just knowing that they want to be a part of this and see the success in what we're doing is wonderful and it's motivating.
Now, how does membership in this facility work?
So we have a walk-in situation of $7. So if you come in, you can pay $7, and you can stay as long as you want. The services will be a la carte. But we have, but even with the $7, there's access to lots and lots of areas. But and so when I say the amenities, like the carousel, but it's just a dollar, you know. And so we're trying to keep things at a low cost so that everyone has access and can afford to be here and can see the value of it all. And so then there's the membership levels, where there's $99 membership per month, and then there's $150. But in those memberships come lots of amenities, like a free haircut, a free resource management forum. You get carousel tokens and things like that, movie theater tickets, you know, and things like that, that all are included in the membership itself. So it makes it, you know, a valuable piece of a state, if you will, that you have for $99.
So before we run out of time, still on time for June opening, grand opening?
Yes, yes. We're looking at mid to late June, and, you know, we're still in need of some items to fill the rooms. So if, you know, the listeners would be so kind as to visit our wish list at autisticplayplace.org, you know, and contribute in whatever way, you know, possible, even if it's just a monetary donation, you know, every little bit helps.
And it still does. Shell Jones, founder, parent, and CEO of Play Place in Sterling Heights, thank you for joining us tonight.
Thank you.
Stay tuned. We'll have more on Powering Michigan's Future on News Talk 760 WJR.
It's Powering Michigan's Future on News Talk 760 WJR. Brought to you by the National Electrical Contractors Association of Southeastern Michigan and the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers Local 58. The best contractors, the best electricians, period. Here's Ken Rogulski.
Welcome back to WJR's Powering Michigan's Future on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Ken Rogulski. Tonight, we move our conversation to another topic of opportunity for returning veterans called ESTART, or the Electrical Skilled Trades Apprenticeship Readiness Training Program. We welcome Gary Pululik, Training Director of the Detroit Electrical Industry Training Center. Gary, good to see you again.
Thank you, Ken.
Good to have you back. Michael Richard, you're an old face here on the show. Good to have you back, too. Glad you
Great
made it
to
back.
Be here.
All right. Gary, let's start with you. Tell us about ESTART. How did this program get together? How did it get started for you guys?
Well, thank you, first of all, Ken, for having me on your show again, Powering Michigan's Future. In September 2015, the United States Department of Labor developed the American Apprenticeship Initiative, which provided an opportunity to develop a program that's going to allow educational opportunity for a military vet for a career in the electrical industry or in any industry. And also, it's going to allow us to take a quality candidate for an IBEW NECA apprenticeship. The program is free of charge, and it also adds a earn while you learn aspect to the program. It's a 10-week program.
That's got to be attractive. Earn while you learn, and you still walk out with some knowledge that you didn't have before.
Absolutely, and you can't beat the price. It's free of charge. Part of the grant also offers an opportunity for the books and the supplies to be paid for through this federal grant. There's a transportation stipend to allow the person to have a transportation avenue to get to the training. And also, on the job, you're going to be paid $10 an hour wage, so you can't beat that.
Yeah. So what special experience, Gary, does this give a returning veteran?
Well, it gives them an enhanced opportunity for an IBEW NECA registered apprenticeship. What I mean by that is this. It's going to give them, through the course language, career exploration opportunities, training in algebra, reading, computer literacy, on-the-job training experience, of course, job readiness skills training, and also it enhances their opportunity because it's going to measure their personal commitment to complete the pre-apprenticeship by attending the classes, completing all the classroom assignments, being prompt and respectful, also being drug-free at all times on the, in the program. These are all aspects of an IBEW NECA apprenticeship. So not only that, but it doesn't cost the person, the participant, anything, and they're going to potentially end up with an IBEW NECA apprenticeship, which is a good-paying job with benefits.
I don't know about you, but do you learn better with hands-on experience rather than just reading from a book on how to do something?
You know, people are built differently. I do. I need to work with my hands. It's just something that, you know, it's how God made me. And so, yes, this program will also offer that opportunity as a hands-on. And what we... Since it's just a pre-apprenticeship, it's not really designed to teach someone the trade, but to get them an idea of what the trade's all about. What we want to measure on the job site is, does the person have a motivation or an initiative to be on the job site? You know, construction requires a teamwork type atmosphere. So that's going to be important. Does he want to be there? You don't want to see any attendance issues because the contractors need you on the job site. So, first of all, in all laughter, does the person have an alarm clock? Does he know how to use it? Because you got to be on the job. So these are some of the job site measurements that we want to make sure are measured for a successful candidate for our apprenticeship. And the second aspect of this is the related instruction. There are 220 hours of classroom instruction, which covers the gamut of industry orientation, safety training. A person coming out of this program is going to carry an OSHA 10-hour cert and also a first aid CPR cert. Introductory job lessons, which include like basic hand tools, power tools, job site equipment, electrical materials. And also, I failed to mention that this is also inclusive of the participant getting a basic hand tool set for free. Also part of the curriculum is going to prepare the person for our apprenticeship application process, basically tech math, algebra, computer literacy, and also interviewing skills. And then financially, there's a financial literacy training class that will touch base on like personal budgeting.
Yeah.
So
something everybody can use today.
Absolutely.
Mike, you're a veteran. And by the way, thank you very much for serving.
Oh, thank you.
Good to have you. What do programs like eStart provide a bridge to a veteran, basically to say, hey, thanks for your work, thanks for your service, and here's how you can transition into peacetime life? What is it that you guys do?
Well, a lot of times you get somebody coming off active duty and they don't really have a game plan. They may think about going to college, and that may not be a reality right when they get out. So they need something to transition into. You're coming off of most 4 years, you know, 1 year hitch, and you're very regimented. You got everything going for you. You want to keep that rolling. You don't want to have any downtime. Now, mine was a little different. You know, the IBEW is a family business, so I knew when I was getting out that I was going to be getting right into the apprenticeship program, at least applying to get into it, which everything worked out good. But I think for us it's important to get that message out there and to let these vets know when they're getting ready to be discharged off active duty that there is there are career paths available for them. And you know, a lot of people don't know we're out there. You know, a lot of people don't know that this is a viable career path, and it's not just a job; it's a career. You're going to earn while you learn. You're going to get benefits. You're going to start accruing benefits. So I'm very excited about this program. You know, both for us, because we get a great candidate, somebody, like I said, that's already regimented, that gets up, that goes to work. Because I tell you what, you know, having been there, you don't call in sick in the Marine Corps. There is no calling in sick. Right? Where are you going to be? You're in the barracks. Somebody's going to come get you, and they're going to put you to work. So, you know, you get somebody that's used to that mindset. So we get a good candidate, and we're also providing a great career opportunity for someone who's given of themselves to protect all of us back here at home.
But what a strong message you give to somebody who's returning from service that, hey, here's a future that you can have hope in that'll make a better life for you.
Absolutely. And that's, you know, it's a win-win. For us, we get that great that great candidate, and we're giving them a great career opportunity that they, you know, normally wouldn't know about or have access to. So we're, like I said, I'm really excited about it. I think it's a great program.
It sounds like it. Gary, back to you. Walk us through the 9-week E-Start program. Give us some of the details.
Well, I was mentioning earlier that we will provide, it's a twofold program, but it basically is going to measure soft skills training. On the job site, we just want to make sure that someone is coming to school, coming to work on time, that they're motivated, that they have the want and the need to be there. And honestly, in the classroom, we want to make sure that the same measurements are you at school? Are you doing the completed assignments, completing all the assignments? So, you know, this is a dynamic that any corporation, any company, any organization wants in their workforce. So when you are dealing with military vets, you're bringing a very, very high quality candidate, someone who has some structure in their life. So this is a beautiful program to allow us to get a good quality candidate for our apprenticeship. Safety training is very, very important. So we start off the first 2 weeks. They're going to be in school for 40 hours, and we're going to get them the OSHA 10-hour cert and the safety awareness training. And then we want to get them on the job site as soon as possible. That seems to be the tricky part.
Now, why is that so important?
Well, because if you go through a program and you find out when you get on a job, I don't like to climb ladders, then you've just wasted people's time and our time. It's very, very expensive. People don't realize how expensive it is in education to run an apprenticeship program. So we want them to see if they fit on the job immediately. So that's why. So by the third week, we're going to get them on a job for 3 days.
Sounds wise.
Yes.
I did hear you say there's compensation. How much? When's it start?
Oh, that's a beautiful thing about this. It's actually twofold. You're going to get compensated while you're in class. There's a transportation stipend. It's not a lot of money, but
but at least it's something.
It's something that's going to get you to the classroom. And once we get you on the job site in that third, fourth week, and then the fifth week, what you end up going to do is make $10 an hour. And that's not like a sharp stick in the eye there.
So how do you apply for this?
So basically what you're going to go to right now is our website, DetroitEITC.org. Quite frankly, right now I'm working on interviewing our first cohort, which is going to start in May. But if you go to our website, that's got all the information, DetroitEITC.org.
Gary, great. Thanks. Michael, thanks. Stay tuned. We'll have more of Powering Michigan's Future on News Talk 760 WJR.
This is Powering Michigan's Future on WJR.
Welcome back to WJR's Powering Michigan's Future on News Talk 760 WJR. Tonight, we've been talking about a new program for veterans launched under the direction of the Detroit Electrical Industry Training Center called E-START, or the Electrical Skilled Trades Apprenticeship Readiness Training Program. We continue our talk tonight with Gary Polulik, director for the EITC, and we also welcome Brad Hewitt, a proud veteran of the Air Force and a electrical apprentice. Brad, welcome to the show. Good to have you.
Thank you, Ken. Glad to have this opportunity to speak to you today.
Well, thanks for your service, too. We really deeply appreciate that. Gary, let's start with you. In our last segment, Michael was talking about why veterans make such a good employee for the workforce. Well, what are your thoughts on this?
Can military vets bring structure, commitment, maturity to the table? They understand teamwork, and they are the definition of discipline. We all want persons of this caliber on our team.
Somebody who can follow orders, basically.
Yes, sir.
I hear that. Brad, how's it feel to be an electrical apprentice after your all years of service?
It's not where I thought I would be, but it's been very rewarding for me, taking fair advantage of every opportunity that's been given to me.
Now, you're an Air Force veteran, right?
Correct.
Now, was it difficult getting out of the Air Force and coming into civilian life? Was it a little nerve-wracking, a little nervous? Like, what do I do now?
Not too bad. I had friends, obviously, that I grew up with. They were working at an auto plant here locally, and they got me in there. So I already knew where I was going before I got out of the military. And honestly, it just wasn't going anywhere.
So what'd you do in the Air Force?
I was a combat arms training and maintenance.
So what does that mean?
I was an instructor for small arms, everything from 9mm handgun up to including the 50 cal fully automatic machine gun.
The big ones in the airplane.
81mm mortar Mark 19, which is a 40mm automatic grenade launcher. Training on those weapons as well as maintaining them.
I tell you, finding a job repairing mortars around Detroit, that's a tough job. Tough job to find. So how did you connect with the apprenticeship program and when you returned from the service?
It had been quite a while since I've been out of the military before I started the apprenticeship. Luckily, a friend of mine that I grew up with, who is also a military vet, he's a Marine, he's the one that notified or got in contact with me after he got into the apprenticeship and sat down with me, told me about it, the benefits of it, and what you'll be doing on the job. And I signed up, and I've never looked back.
So it sounded appealing to you when he first told you about it.
Most definitely.
Yeah. So what have you been doing lately as far as an apprenticeship has been concerned?
Lately, I've been at Metro Airport working for Centerline Electric, but I've also done other work at Flat Rock Assembly Plant, Henry Ford Hospital in West Bloomfield.
You've been all over, haven't you?
I've been a few places.
When you were in the Air Force, were you always kind of like a hands-on guy?
Yes. I'm a mechanical person. I like knowing how things work, working with my hands.
Was it much of a challenge to go from something mechanical to learn something electrical?
For me, it wasn't too bad just because I grew up around it. My dad was in electronics. He built our first color television we had.
You're kidding.
No.
Did you help him or did you just watch him? Or did you not even care?
No, I was interested, watching the oscilloscope and, seeing everything he's doing, soldering and everything. It was interesting.
Yeah. Did you ever think when you were a kid you'd end up doing this?
Not at all. But I'm very glad I did it.
So how long have you been an apprentice?
I'm in my final year. It's been about 4.5 years.
Wow. It's almost like a college degree, almost.
It's gone by quick. It seems like it's going to be slow the whole way, and you're never going to reach that finish line. But I look back now, and it's
right around the corner.
Yeah, it's been quick, and it's been fun.
What do you like most about this?
Just all the experiences. Just the knowledge you have, knowing that you have a skilled trade, something that's valued, that nobody can take it away from you. One thing I do like about it is it reminds me a lot of the military. I was started out at Lackland Air Force Base. I had gone to Incirlik Air Base, Turkey, where we kept track of all or maintained all the weapons in Turkey and northern Iraq. Then I went back to San Antonio and I was at Camp Bullis. Thing that reminds me about it is, for example, I went to work with a guy for a few years at Lackland, went to Turkey. The person in the room next to me in Turkey, they happened to be stationed with the same guy at a different time when they were in Guam. So it's
same guy?
Same guy. He went to Guam. A year later, I went to Turkey. This other person comes to Turkey. They were stationed with him in Guam. So it's like its own community. You go from one job to the other, and you run into somebody that knows somebody, or you get reacquainted with another friend that you've met in the trade. Like when I was at Flat Rock, I worked for a guy. He left. I went to Henry Ford Hospital. He was there. Then our foreman there that I worked for, I ran into him a year later at Cobo Center.
Wow.
So it's like its own family and community.
So it's almost as much travel as you had in the military almost.
Almost.
Gary was saying earlier that they love military people because they're disciplined. They follow orders. They do what they're supposed to do. Has that helped you a lot in your electrical apprenticeship career?
Yeah, having the, I mean, for me, it was more the way I was raised, and also, but the people from the military do have the benefit. You know, it's instilled upon them. You know, having the pride, integrity, honor, always do the right thing, even when nobody's looking. Take the initiative, jump in there, do what needs to be done.
So if somebody's coming out of the military, they say, hey, Brad, what's your experience? What would you tell them about becoming an electrical apprentice?
Just to continue on with that, those things that were instilled onto you.
So you'd grade it high.
Starting from basic training, I mean, it's helped me out greatly from day one.
Very good. Gary, let's go back to you for a second. Do you get enough vets applying in the program to keep this thing going for you?
Yes, we do. Since January of this year, we've had 39 vets apply through the end of March. But look, we want more Brad Hewitts. We want more quality people like Brad Hewitt and the military vets. It enhances our program. Good candidates make our program even more successful than it already is. So we can do a lot better than what we are doing right now. And we do a lot of recruitment efforts, but we need to improve the numbers of the military vets. If I had my druthers, I'd have all military vets. That's the quality of people that we're dealing with.
So for those listening tonight, if you're a vet or if you have a family member who's a vet, how can they call you, Gary?
Well, the easiest way to do it, there's the DetroitEITC.org is our website. That'll give you information on where to go, how to maneuver. There's two different things that I want to, or one different thing I want to substantiate between
sure,
the electrical apprenticeship and the pre-apprenticeship. The pre-apprenticeship is exactly that. It's to help people that maybe have some questions on what the apprenticeship's all about, and it's a good segue to enhance an opportunity for your apprenticeship. Everybody has the opportunity to apply for the regular apprenticeship and go through the standard process. This program that we're working on, the eStart, is going to help assist the military veterans to get into a registered apprenticeship of ours.
I hear you. And what would you tell them in closing, Gary?
I would absolutely say that if you are looking for a good career with good people, good contractors, organizations that have been around for over 100 years, you know, they've got the results showing that we are a successful training entity. If you want to measure what you want to do, the pre-apprenticeship that we have developed here will give you that shot to see if this is really for you or if it's not. So we welcome all military vets, and
we'd love to have more.
We'd love to have more.
Brad Hewitt, thank you for joining us tonight. Congratulations. Thank you for your service. Good luck on your future. Gary Polulik, thank you very much. You have been listening to Powering Michigan's Future, sponsored by the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers, Local 58, and the National Electrical Contractors Association of Southeastern Michigan on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Ken Rogulski. Thanks for joining us.